Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team.
And it's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, we don't get a chance to do this, Bo, very often. But special guest. Man, I see him around all the time. Ian Berger. Big E.
Big E.
2020 Fan of the Year. Yep. By the way, you start talking about being Fan of the Year, and you look at all. Well, so over the last 10 or 15 years, we've seen him all over the country and all over. Actually, we've gone to Europe a few times and seen him there, and Ian joins us. Big E, how are you, bud?
You're doing well. Good morning, gentlemen. The pride of Milpitas is joining Joe Rose this morning. I absolutely love you guys. Thank you for having me on this morning.
No, hey, listen, first of all, we talk about our great fan base, and boy, you are right there at the top, bud, and the way – everybody talks about you, says a lot about you as being a fan and a longtime fan. So I start with, you know exactly what we needed and what we got in the draft. What did you think overall?
You know, I love the fact that we got some big-bodied guys in the trenches to start with, because I think those guys will be starting at the beginning of the season. You know, the rest of the guys, I think, you know, they could be bench players. They could eventually be starters if they prove themselves in the preseason. But I overall am positive with the draft, because they filled a lot of holes that we had. And I know we've got some additional free agents that will probably be signed in the next couple of days, but I'm feeling good. And we have to see him on the field to really be able to make an assessment. And I think that's going to be the big thing.
You know, and sometimes, you know, Big E, we need people like you to remind us that whatever people on the outside think about these drafts and they're given grades, and you're like, we don't – all these teams do all this work, all of them, and then we go, nah, I don't like your draft. It was bad. And you're going, it's a C-. And you go, C-? Can they play? Are you going to be around after we play for a year? We'll see what kind of grade they get. That's a great point you make.
You know, if you've listened to me, I'm a line of scrimmage guy. And I think that, you know, getting – I think those three guys, the two first guys, Grant and –
well, they got to start.
The guard is going to – it's hard for me. I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce his name. But I like, you know, Joe, you played in the West Coast. I love Samoan players. Tough, hard nose.
Wide body.
And they're going to work. And
some kind of muscle makeup. They're
exactly.
Just strong as.
And so, I think you get two starters and at least a rotational player out of the other. Jordan Phillips.
Yeah.
And so to me, I think that's Mike McDaniel getting a little of that toughness that he's talked about over the last couple of years. I think we're seeing that come to fruition, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Hey, Big E, so let me ask you, of the lower draft picks, the fives and down, which one did you like the most that could help us maybe?
I will tell you, I look at the – and I know this is going to sound crazy because I didn't feel it was too much of a need, but the running back, Ollie, you know, I see him, you know, over the last couple of seasons – 3rd and 2, 4th and 1, the Dolphins are throwing the ball because I don't think they're confident in their run game to be able to pick up that first down. But I see Ollie as that guy. I looked at all of his tape, you know, that was shared after he got drafted, and I said, this guy can power run up the middle and get us those 1 or 2 yards that we need. Kind of like a Lusaka Polite, right? What we had a couple years ago. 3rd and 2, you give it to Lusaka Polite, and it's an automatic first down. So I'm excited about him.
You got a big back, 6'2", 225, 230
right
around
like
there.
Him. They like him
and
a lot, too.
You know, that's, I mean, how many third and ones did we, you know, did we get stuffed on? So
we got two big guards, by the way.
Yeah,
we got a veteran
guards.
Free
yeah,
agent
yeah.
and a rookie
yeah.
coming in here, second
yeah,
round
I'm,
pick.
You know, I was concerned about what was going to happen out of the draft with that offensive line, but now with Daniels, you know, if he's healthy, and I'm assuming he's going to be healthy before the preseason is over, and then you put the other kid in there, and I'm happy with both the tackles and the center, so I think our line is as good as we can expect with what we had to go with.
Hey, Big E, I do want to ask you about the other story for us having success this year. And some of it, Bo, has to do with coming off injury. Obviously, we need
yep.
Tua for 17 games to really
– Yeah.
Yep.
Right, we all agree on that one.
I think they took a big step forward with fixing that offensive line, obviously.
It's right? going to give him yep. every yep. opportunity. And yep. I think our wide receivers are going to be better because of that. The other one, though, we really need a Lady Luck this year for Bradley Chubb,
yep.
Jalen Ramsey, to stay healthy with Chop.
Yeah.
And I know we can't control injury, but, boy, I'd love to see the three first-round picks playing together, rotating in, and see. I think that's a big key to helping the whole defense. Is that
yeah,
pass
if you
rush.
Can if you can get, you know, a full schedule of games out of those guys, and you know, you got three guys in there that can make a nice little rotation and put them in. And guys that you – two guys, you know, guys there where you can – you know, I always look at Anthony Weaver from what we saw from him last year. And, you know, the things that he can do now with those, you know, you could either easily go from a 3-4 to a 4-3 with those two guys in there without doing any replacements. And then with those guys' rotation out there, you can do multiple fronts yeah. with those guys. And so I'm excited what he can do. If though, and look, Bradley Chubb's been,
man.
You know, the best thing they did with him, not
letting
put him at
play,
the end
right.
of the year.
Not make him play.
And hopefully Jalen Phillips, who's you know, really one of the – You don't see many quality guys like that come this way. You know, he's a good person. He works his ass off. You know, in every injury he's become more of an Adonis.
I feel bad, so, man. Achilles, ACL.
And look, for no fault of his own, he just hasn't been able to hold up. To have him be able to play a full season.
Yeah,
that'd go a long way to really helping this team get back where we want to be.
Hey, Big E. Yeah, go ahead, Big E.
No, I was just going to say, you know, the thing, too, about this potential defensive line, if you can get everybody healthy and you've got Grant and you've got Zach Sealer stuffing up the middle,
yep.
it puts a lot less pressure on your safeties and cornerbacks. So you don't have to necessarily have, you know, the best or the top five paid safety or cornerback yep. in the backfield. And I think that's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. If everybody's healthy, I think it'd be a huge difference maker.
Yeah, but you're right, Biggie. You just can't go out and have the highest paid make-believe team at every position. You need some quality, low-paid veteran free agents as well as some draft picks workout. I'm with you 100%. Biggie, I always wonder, man, every time I turn on a podcast, you guys all know each other. Like, no, from coast to coast. And listen, I'm a little outdated here with the social media stuff. Do you guys all know each other in all these different clubs and podcasts pretty much everywhere in this world?
You know what? It's interesting because it is a worldwide phenomenon with the Miami Dolphins podcast. And we do get to know each other very well because of social media. And, you know, it's not one of those things where we're competing against each other. It's one of those things where we encourage everybody to do well, because podcasts, you know, they're just fans providing their opinions. Right. And you know, some podcasts actually have some great guests on our podcast, the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. We just share our opinions as things happen. And what's great is that a lot of fans love to hear what other fans' reactions and opinions are. And we love each other. Really, when we see each other at games, we give each other high fives and hugs. And, you know, we encourage each other to do great things. So I think that's the great thing about this Dolphin podcast.
You guys
family.
Do your podcast every day?
So Dolphins Talk has yeah. a daily podcast.
Yeah.
Mike Oliva, he's amazing. He's a
yeah,
guy
yeah.
who runs the
yeah,
whole
he
thing.
Is. Yeah. Great.
And he, you know, I'm usually on with him on Wednesday nights, especially as we get closer to the season. During the off season, it might not be as yeah. frequent, but he's just done amazing. And, you know, the other guys do, some of them do daily, some of them do once or twice a week. But I give them a lot of credit because it is a commitment to keep going.
No doubt.
So good stuff.
Always great topics. Always good stuff. You guys, amazing. I always say this, you know, whatever our GM says or an owner says or a coach says, our fan base pretty knowledgeable about every part of his team. Yeah. Like, everybody is zoned in on, like, no. We need him better and that stuff. Hey, by the way, it's good. Biggie, how are you feeling, man? How are you doing?
You know, I'm taking it one day at a time, Joe. There's obviously there's some stuff that's going on with me, and I picked up an autoimmune disorder called primary sclerosing cholangitis, which you pick up randomly. There's no reason that people got it, and it's really where my liver is in a stage 4 cirrhosis right now because of this autoimmune disorder, and I picked it up a year ago, and it's progressed significantly over the last year. And I spent 6 hospital stays, 40 plus days at University of Miami Hospital, which, by the way, tons of love to those doctors and nurses over there. They do an amazing job, but I'm here. I'm staying positive, staying optimistic, because the alternative is just not who I am.
Well, you're moved up into the transplant phase, right? Where you can get somebody there. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, exactly, Bill. Thank you. I have been approved for a live living donor through the University of Pennsylvania, which was a huge, huge step for me. Took, you know, tons of blood tests and tons of interviews with the doctors and nurses up there. But really, because of what's happening with my liver, I'm looking for a live living donor to be able to help with my progress, because otherwise the other alternative is I can get extremely sick, be in my deathbed, and then I can get a deceased donor, which would still save my life. But I'm trying not to get to that point where
if there's somebody out there that's thinking about being a donor, what can they do?
Yeah, right. How do?
Thanks for asking, guys. Really, the best thing you could do is apply to see if you're eligible for it. And in order to do that, the best way to do it is go to Google, type in Big E Miami Dolphins. That'll get you all my socials. That'll get you especially Twitter, because I'm talking about it all the time. And it takes you to the National Kidney Registry, even though the National Kidney Registry also registers folks for liver donors as well. And they take you through three phases, make sure that you're healthy enough, make sure that you're within the right age range, make sure your blood is good. And then it takes you probably through a 6-week process to see if you're eligible. And then hopefully I find that one person, you know, that is inclined to be able to help and can donate part of the liver, because it's obvious people don't know this, but livers regrow in humans. So if they give me part of their liver, it will grow to a full liver in my body, and then it will all grow back into their body as well.
Wow, that's great. Hey, Big E, man, I did not know this, and I've seen you for years. And, hey, man, if there's anything, I'm so glad you brought up. Can you give people information one more time that have heard or know who you are that didn't know about this?
Yeah, absolutely. It is the National Kidney Registry, and it's the disease I have is called primary sclerosing cholangitis, which just shows up randomly. There's no reason or rhyme as to why it showed up, and really I've got a bunch of support, and I'm just going to give a lot of love to everybody who has already applied, who's trying, who's shared my story. Thank you to you guys for having me on today to be able to share the story, because it's going to get worse for me as time goes on. So if I can get this living donor, it'll help me out a lot.
We talk about the Dolphins and toughness, and they could take a page out of you. I mean, I've seen you on, and you just do your thing, and you're not complaining. You're just toughing through it. And man, I give you all the credit in the world, brother.
Biggie.
I hope the best for you, and hopefully we get some good news on you. Soon as we can be.
Everybody's supporting you, Big E, out there, man. I just heard about this and didn't know. And, hey, there's anything we can do, I'd love to have you come on again here real soon if you would. That'd be great.
Absolutely. I love you guys. Thank you guys so much for
having
me on
this morning. Right back at you, Big E, man. You hang in there. Thank you.
All right, bye, guys.
All right, Big E.
No, those guys are good. Like you said, all those podcast guys.
They're great.
But those two guys, I think they were the first fan podcast that I went on, and we talked for an hour or so. Yeah. and you know what, they're not just guys that are pulling stuff out of there. They're knowledgeable.
No,
these guys they dig deep, man.
Their stuff's out there sometimes. Yeah. I like to know what everybody's talking about. I go to hear what our fans our fans.
I went with this guy Daniel in France. I was on his, and he was a guy that was spearheading Richmond Webb's charged to try to get into the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's funny because these guys are just all so good. And all the stuff, they're knowledgeable about former players and active players and what we need. I mean, we may disagree in the order or, you know, we all have favorite guys.
Yeah.
We're all guilty. Yeah. I'm guilty. Bo, you got your guys you like and you deal with that do great stuff with you, even, you know, when times aren't great. So we'll get back and talk more. But I want to thank Big E for coming on. And, man, hopefully he gets some good news here real soon on all that stuff. Hey, speaking of coming back home here right now, the Marlins. Boy, they're glad to get away from the Dodgers for a few days. That looked like batting practice. The brooms were out. It was a big broom in L.A. But, hey, no time to worry about it. Flying home, got the – I don't know what kind of A's we're calling them. Sacramento A's, Oakland A's, West Coast A's, not Vegas A's yet. But Friday, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, the A's, and then followed by the Dodgers will be in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So the Freak Show will be down here as well. So we got a lot of stuff. And with that and saying all that stuff, we're also got cool stuff going on as far as for the fans. And I always tell everybody, check out. They've got great promotions, doing a lot of great marketing stuff for you. And so today's a day off, and then we'll jump right back on it. Marlins baseball back in town tomorrow for a three-game series with the A's.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We put ourselves out there. When you put yourselves out there as competitors, you're going to put yourself out there for everything. And we deserve it. We deserve the criticism. We deserve the embarrassment. Those last two games, you know, well, it's not, you know, what our organization's about. But we put ourselves out there to fight in the play-in, two road play-in games to earn our right to go to the playoffs. And those two games were something, you know, we felt like it was going to lead to a lot more, and that was irrational on our part.
You know, at the end of the day, I want to win. So I can't really go into the logistics of the tweaks and everything. I feel like that's more of a Pat Riley question. And I hope you can ask that question to him and he doesn't blow you off and ignore you. But you know, for me, he knows my mentality. He knows I wants to win. You know, we want to be in the best way possible to do that. So, you know, after he talks to you, he'll probably talk to me and we'll figure out what happens.
All right. Man, this is something new. But we've had a lot of new things around here that have happened. The Jimmy Butler situation, yeah. Now the Heat got a lot of work to do, to put it nicely. Got a lot of work to get themselves back into this thing and get out of this play-in 10 seed, 9 seed yeah. thing. And then the Dolphins, I mean, what we just went through, they can't control injury, and I understand that. But the Tyreek, right from the start yeah. of the season before, Bo, I've never seen that. We've never been through, and we've had some guys have drug problems. When we yeah. play, we've had guys have different issues. Had guys die in the offseason.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about having your best player on the team before the opener sitting on the sidewalk in handcuffs.
Yeah, well, that's the beginning of you know, you thought that was going to be the last incident, and certainly it wasn't, going through the season. And then, you know, the most egregious thing to me is that last game when you just quit, when you quit on your team.
That bothered you.
That really bothers me. And I don't know how you look at the guy the same way. It's like – you know, you kind of now get a feeling, you know, it's it's kind of the look that I saw when Waddle said, "Hey, Reek, you coming out?" And he says, "No." And then the look from Waddle was like, "Really?" You know, it's kind of what? Yeah. You know, and so how do you get over that? And how do you not think that anywhere along the line over this next season, that's not going to rear its ugly head again? And you know, you're playing something goes haywire. You're playing a team, and you know, like one of those games that the Dolphins have done every year for probably the last 25 years that they since they've been, you know, since they haven't won a playoff game. It's not losing to the New England Patriots who are playing Super Bowl, winning Super Bowls, six Super Bowls over 20-year period. It's the having a bad Detroit team come into your backyard and beat you when you're a better team than them. That's the egregious problem with the that I've seen from the Dolphins. That, you know, one game, you know how it is in this season. One game makes you a playoff contender or a wannabe. And they've always had that one game where you go, how could we lose to those guys in our backyard? But there's a lot of other things that go into it too. It's the dynamic between Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, and the question of Mike McDaniel can he turn this offense around back into that, you know, high powered offensive machine that we saw 2 years ago, and the drop off between the number one player in the NFL as voted on by the players themselves turns out not to even be one of the top 100 going into the season this year. Yeah, or maybe he is, but he's probably not, you know, he's way down the line. So you how do you go from being the number one guy to being almost not in that ranking? And how much does that take out of the guts of your team? You couldn't throw the ball downfield.
No.
You got, I forget what the percentage is, 30 or 40% of your passes completed behind the line of scrimmage, and you got two of the receivers that have had all pro years the year before, and now you get nothing out of them.
Yeah,
and so that is on Mike McDaniel
to get that thing figured out
because they're still the play. You still can't say that both of those guys just dropped off the cliff and can't play anymore or not talented anymore. And the one thing we do know about Tyreek is no matter what's going on in his private life, no matter what's going on when he comes to work, he works. I've never seen him on a football field game time other than when he walked off, other than when he bailed out in New York. But I've never seen him on the field where he wasn't working hard at practice or busting his ass in the game.
That's why he's still here, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
Because everybody looks at the whole thing. By the way, he's got so many. You could do a 4-hour show.
Yeah.
On Tyreek, but. Nat's out there every day goes, nobody works harder. We're sitting there at dinner.
I agree with it.
He goes, nobody works harder and dominates practices more in the history of the Dolphins than he does.
Since he's got here, how many times has he played hurt? You know, I go back to that one Baltimore game when we were down by, you know, we had that big comeback in the end, and he catches a touchdown right towards the end of the and pulled up a hamstring. It went right into the locker room.
Right.
You go, oh, he's done for the day. Comes out right after, boom, goes out and plays the second half.
Dominates the fourth quarter.
And I remember asking him, I said, Tyreek, you know, most people in this guys in this league would have never come back and played again. Why did you? He goes, well, that's what they're paying me to do. Come out here and play and make plays. And I was so – that made me feel so good about him. And then you get all this other ancillary stuff. But, again – when you put him on that between those lines, the guy's going to give you all he's got.
You would think that's the hardest part, right?
Yeah,
being the great player that he is.
Yeah,
and yet it's all the other stuff.
Yeah, everything overshadows it.
It's lawsuits.
Yeah,
it's video of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
it's just
man.
Everybody's had bad, you know, relationships.
They've got to figure it out. I mean, between Chris Greer. And between Mike and those guys, you know, I'm assuming they both had some discussions with them
with
the draft and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But somehow before training camp starts, they need to figure out how to get this team on the right track, and it's got to be a much more disciplined football.
Mike's not going to change his personality. Well, look, he
came out with that press conference that they gave right after the season, we got to be more disciplined. We can't have guys coming in late. We can't have guys missing practice. I try to fine them. It doesn't mean anything. I don't know what to do. That to me sends a bad message. You got to find out what to do. You got to find some way to make sure that those guys are – you got guys that were second-round draft picks, don't play, haven't played for 2 years, and they're missing practices, and that's unconscionable. To me, I would get that deadwood away from here, and let's get some people. If you don't want to play, if you don't want to work, if you don't want to be in the meeting rooms, we'll get somebody that does.
Right.
You know, what's the good of having a guy that on the you? How many guys they have sitting there on and they're going, they're waiting for the potential to kick in, 2 years, 3 years.
We wait way too long, in my opinion. Yeah.
At some point, you got to cut.
If you can't grow up,
yeah.
As a comma. If you got some guys on that team, how long are you going to wait?
Channing Tindall, you know, he's been there 3 years. You get nothing. You know, so
but they're never going to trust him as a starting linebacker.
No. So why?
He's going to play special teams.
So why not give somebody else a chance?
Guess he's good on special teams, Bo.
Well,
I mean,
Okay.
He did play the one preseason game last year, and they go, okay, he's going to be back. But they give their high draft picks.
Yeah. Cam Smith. Him.
Cam's going to have every chance. They're saying it again. Cam's going to have every chance again.
And you know my guy Tanner Connor that just drives me crazy. I
don't get that one
either.
Taking
a roster spot because he plays well in minicamp. That's four guys. That's four spots that you could find a diamond in the rough, right? You know, you could find us another Storm Duck maybe. But you know those – you know what you got now? Guys that have disappointed you every year.
They think – so I've been told – I asked this same question. They think that the light's going to come on those guys. Yeah. That they're going to go, hey, man, this is your chance. Like, hey, new coach, this is your chance. Hey, if Wes was too hard, you got a new guy.
Yeah.
This is your coordinator. If Vic was too hard,
yeah.
you got a new guy. This is a fresh start for you,
yeah.
Campster. Go get him.
So you think Vic was too hard on you. He just went and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. By the way,
by rushing four, never blitzing against the Kansas City Chiefs and shut them down.
Right.
So you couldn't play for that guy. You know who's the right? Who's right?
Hey Bo. By the way, the funniest part that's come out is they talk about teams that Jalen Ramsey might go to. That
Philadelphia.
And they said Philly. I go, no shot.
No way.
Vic's going.
No way.
I'm not coaching that guy again.
No.
Hell no. Give me my two rookies from last year. We got to go to break. We'll be back with Kim Bocamper right after this.
Time for weather brought to you by the Nemezu and Dover Law Firm. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 79 degrees and partly cloudy. No rain in the forecast. The Joe Rose Show continues now.
They have an exceptional team, like not just an average team. They have an exceptional team. And I think 2 years ago, they're playing Boston and they're down like 3-1 to the present cup champs. And they come back and win that series. They don't win that series. Who knows what happens to that team? They come back, they win. They get a good vibe about how to win because it is something that's learned and it's an art. And fortunately for us, we've had that for like 10 to 12 years. And you're not going to win every single playoff series. But they built a team. They got a sniff of it. They went to the final, didn't win, came back, went to the final and won. And who knows what they're going to do this year. But, you know, they have primarily the same team. But now they know how to do it. And there's only a few teams in the last little while that have really know how to do it. We were one of them, and now they're one of them. And it's unfortunate we've had to run into them. And whether the series they swept us or it was 4-1, 4-2, like to me, that's kind of irrelevant. They beat us. And we're in a really tough division, and we've been the rep in the conference final or in the Stanley Cup final the last 5 years. It was our turn for a while. Now it's theirs, and our job is to make sure it's our turn again. So, does that sum it up for you?
That was John Cooper, Lightning head coach, blatantly honest.
You don't see similar? Do you see similarities between him and Paul Maurice from a coaching style?
I happen to like this guy.
Yeah, I do too.
He is, you know, he goes, hey, man, and I think he and Paul Maurice have a pretty good relationship, yeah. Obviously, well, competitive. And
they, you know, but they look like they're calm. You know, they'll have their breakouts. Like, I know he went crazy when when they got the second goal in 11 seconds, and after that big penalty that they didn't call.
Yeah, he gets pretty fired up, and when they scored, it tied up a couple of times in this series. But yeah. And he said some great things about this team.
Yeah.
The core of this team staying together, the structure of this team from the top down, ownership signing off, a GM that's really good at what he does, who's directly connected on, I'll tell you what, they might as well be married to each other.
Yeah.
Not accusing them of anything. But Maurice and
you don't see any rift between Bill Zito and
by the way, Bill Zito just stays out of the picture. Yeah. You never hear Bill Zito.
No.
Some GMs got to have their name out there, and not Bill Zito is. Yeah.
You know, I met him opening day last year. He was down on the sideline at the Dolphin game, and I had a good conversation. Really, really a good guy and big football fan. And you know,
he's a Pittsburgh guy. He's a Marino Pittsburgh guy.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, he goes, man, these guys are huge. You know, and I go, I said, you should stand down here by me. When they used to have the kickoff, it's like a herd of cattle coming down there. You know, you can feel the ground shake. You know, you don't do it anymore because they got that little sassy ass kickoff game that they got going now. But
hey, you know what's so funny about it too? Speaking of going on the sideline, I try to always take people down to the sideline until I got kicked off the sideline this past year. But you know, I had to get that. I was talking to you and somebody else, and they go, hey, you got to go. He can stay, but it is amazing to take people down there, and they'll go, this guy's got a weak arm, and then they watch him throw, and they go, holy crap, I go to a lot of games. Yeah. This guy can throw it. Or they'll watch a guy kick, and they go, they're watching, like, whether it's Jason Sanders or a punter punt the ball and rip one 60 yards and go, wow. It doesn't look like that on TV. Yeah. And you see it in person, guys throwing takeoffs.
The
and
other
stuff.
Things is they come down and they get there and they go, man, these guys are really big.
Yeah, no.
You know, because you don't see on TV.
No.
It's like watching a basketball game. You see they're all 6'10", 7". And so you think that they're all the same. And then all of a sudden you go
down there, yeah.
But they come down, those offensive linemen come around, they go, holy criminy, you know.
And you'll go, that's 340 pounds right there, a man at least. It might be a little bit more here on game day as they get set to go. Yeah. But that is. But hey, listen, this Panthers team is fun to watch, man. The gang is back, and everything they add seems to it's incredible. Trade, late pickups right before the trade deadline. They got aggressive. It pays off again. Everything they seem to do once they get in this system with the Panthers and this core of guys, it friggin' works out.
Well, even the guys that come in late, you know, they come in and all of them comment on, man, this is a team. They got something. They can feel the chemistry that this team has, you know, and everyone's, you know, everybody's.
They got a lot of star players, too.
Everybody's all in.
Yeah.
But this guy Marshawn comes in, right? And he goes, you know, I hated these guys, you know. And he still takes a little digs at them.
Yeah, but they all laugh about it. It's all,
They're locker room digs, right?
Yeah.
But even he says, man, the culture here, and I really don't like to use that word culture. I think it's overused in sports. You know, if you win a Super Bowl, we had great culture, you know?
I know that word's been around, but it seemed like the Heat almost, they owned it. And then everybody got pissed at the Heat, the only one that's got good culture.
Right.
Nobody else, just you. Yeah, you develop a guy and it's your culture. Or you find a guy and get him to, you know, not go to clubs. That's your culture.
Yeah, but they have that culture. To me, the culture is work them as hard as you can, and if you don't like it, get out of here, and we'll get somebody else. But it seems like it's tangible with the Panthers when these new guys come in, these new little pieces come in, and they and they almost seem to get the guys that fit right into a slot, right?
Yes. I think the other thing is we see all these different changes, and I know we don't like a lot of them. I get it. And when I come in, you even bring out the worst in me now. You're turning me into an old guy. I don't think hockey's changed much.
No, I don't think it's changed at all.
I think hockey, no, the guy still, yeah. there's respect yeah. for every part of the game playing hurt. Yeah. I think they play hurt more than anybody else.
No doubt. I've talked to the docs, and I say, you know, God, geez, Doc, these guys get hit with a puck in the eye, and they go in the locker room.
Give me back.
He goes, they go in the locker room to get sick. He goes, no, they don't even go in the locker room. I stitch them up right on the bench and put them right back out. Mm-hmm. Now, you got guys that – I see guys that, you know – I can't play because I got a near pull, you know, in football that they're supposed to be the tough guys. But these guys, they want to be in that, you know, they like jumping in that cauldron, man. It's a different breed of cat, the hockey guys.
But how do you square that with the fact that these guys have a limited time in that league, right? And NFL player, any player, they have to protect themselves, right? Like,
what?
But you know that.
There he goes.
Yeah.
But you guys know that, and you can, you know, ignore it as much as you want and say, play.
If you've been approved by the doctor to play.
By the way, we're seeing it at the college level. We're seeing it at the pro level. Guys are going to protect themselves.
So let me ask you this. How much softer can they make the game? You can't touch anybody when they're running routes. If you sack the quarterback 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a penalty. Come on.
Here we go.
You're yelling
at me like I make the rules. I'm just telling you how it is, man. Jeez. Guys are going to look after
you're
themselves.
You're part of that soft generation.
Maybe so.
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
Oh, jeez.
Hey. Let me ask you a question.
You know, Bo, if you would have taken some games off, you probably could have played longer.
Bo, can I ask you a question? Would you take all the needles and stuff? Would you do it again?
Yeah, I would do everything I did. I wouldn't change anything.
I would.
I wouldn't change anything. Look, I played with, you know.
Would you go to an outside doctor? Would you stay with the same?
No.
You would have stayed
with these guys, I would.
No. These guys,
I know now what I knew then,
yeah.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I would go to new doctors.
Yeah.
But we had no
choice
at that point.
One doctor for the whole body.
Yeah, but so it's just, you know, like I said, I wouldn't change anything. I really wouldn't. I like the era I played in. I like the way we played the game.
I like the way we played. You know, I like the guys we played.
The guys we played with. And you know, when you see a guy.
But would we have been different? If it was $10-15 million instead of
$80,000, let me put it this way. I believe the guys that are playing right now in the NFL, right now, if they were playing in the era we played, they would be playing just the way we did. You know, because that's all we knew. We didn't know any. Look,
what do you mean, Bo? Those guys are bigger and faster.
No, but I mean, you know, so. We had 2-a-day practices. We had 3-a-day practices. We practiced hard. We practiced in pads every day. We worked harder in practice than we did in the games, and so now you go. They've got 17 weeks of games, right? 20 mm-hmm. weeks of the season.
Yes.
Right. They can only have it be in pads 14 times in that 20 game period.
Right.
14. So you can't even be in pads every week one time a week. One game, you can't. Those are the rules. You can only be on the field for so long.
Right.
They never practice in pads,
and they never go over that time.
They don't go over that time.
We're not going back. Though,
I'm not.
Man.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
You
saying,
rant about it all you want, but they're not going. They're not going to go back in time.
Hey, knucklehead, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that these guys, if they were playing, you take them back to our era, they would do the same things that we did.
They would.
Because that's what
that
you
was
did.
The rules. Yeah.
And I'll say this. The guys before me, it was easier than on us. And the guys before them, it was easier on them than those guys. It's been a gradual movement. And I understand the health, and I understand the money, I understand all that, and I still love watching the games. I just think that it's too easy for guys to check out when there's nothing wrong with them. When I hear a doctor say, you know what, this guy over here, there's nothing wrong with him.
Yeah, but Bo, they're more involved with their agents. And hey, if you need another week, there's 17 games. Don't worry about it.
That's all part of the evolution.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm going to tell you, and I'm not going to be here. So you mark my words. 20 years they're going to be playing flag football.
The NFL. They're not playing flag.
It's already in the Olympics.
Bo is going to be 100 years old. He's going to be coming in here talking on that mic, rambling about flag football.
You know,
he'll be
100,
Bo. We'll celebrate your 100th birthday here.
Way to go, Woody. Way to get him going. Now he'll be here till 11 going.
If I come in here at 100 years old, there's one thing I know. Joe's mic cover is going to still be there with all that schmutz on it. It's going to be that same mic cover.
I'm spitting all over it. Don't you worry about that.
By the way, the good news is Leroy's pacing out there if you need someone to talk to.
All right.
He'll talk to you.
We're out of here. Bo, thank you. We'll see you again tomorrow morning.